Okay. As Lutherans, we are called to continually reform. However, as we go about our years and our understanding of faith and works and God and what we're called to do, do we truly understand what is being asked of us? And when we seek to do the right thing, have we thought of all the possible outcomes, or even like in our spur of the moment things? Do we think about all the different things that possible, as they say, the ripple effect across the pond as we throw the stone in and see what happens? So this week, as I was figuring out the connections of the gospel and of Reformation and those ideas that were bubbling up in my head, or those ideas that I was praying would bubble up in my head, I kept looking for that light bulb moment or that divine inspiration where God would reveal those connections, where I would see how we could live out the text, live out this continual reformation, not only within our daily lives as individuals, but as a community of believers. Which eventually came. It might have been as my head was on my desk and I was praying, "Lord, let your word speak to me." But it came. That concocting and forethought. Like, how much did Martin Luther put into that moment as, well, first, that first moment, as he was alongside the road in that lightning storm, and he just, "Lord, please, if you stop this storm, I'll become a monk." Little did he know, God heard him and was like, "Okay, great, I have great plans for you." With Zacchaeus, he was just really wanting to see Jesus. It doesn't say exactly why he really wanted to see Jesus. It might have been a curiosity thing, or really truly a moment of just inspiration. But he had to go, that calling, that urgency that we get every once in a while as we go in our lives. And there's that, for me, it's that bubbling up where I'm sitting and I know God wants me to say something, so he's putting all these, like, anxiety or something, and then I have to, then all the words come out. But I wonder with Zacchaeus if that was kind of the moment, that building up and anticipation that he had to see Christ. And then those around him, they were probably waiting for Christ to admonish him like he did some of the other leaders and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and tax collectors, those that hold the power that weren't including all of the in the community. Go away, hey. Come on. God. Go away. Waiting it to don't get done whistling. All right. I have to remember where I was at. Okay, there it is. All right. But they were expecting Christ to admonish this chief tax collector, this man that comes into their community and charges everyone else to go and collect their tax. But instead, once again, Christ does the unexpected. He looks up at Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I'm going to your house." How startling that must have been, not only for Zacchaeus, but for those gathered around. Like, once again, Christ is like including the outliers, and I don't understand this. But the moment that Zacchaeus feels that presence, that divine inspiration, that divine moment with Christ beside him, all right, oy vey.
I turned it off. I don't know what's going on now, but it's off. Oh. Oh, that's just awful. All right, I'm going to get loud. How's that? Oh. Like a dog with a whistle. You're just like, what the heck? But for Luther, in that moment that he entered the church and he saw the selling of indulgences for the forgiveness of sin, that moment stirred up within him again to the point where he took action and he wrote down all those things that he saw within the church that were apart from what Christ had intended for us. And he placed those creeds and those lessons, and he developed those and continued with that urgency to get the Bible to all those who didn't have the opportunity to read in Latin or in Greek or Hebrew. He printed it into everyday German so that they too could have access to this knowledge that he had gained. And I thought about those moments of transformation, those moments of reformation that took place. And I thought of the root word of those two words, of that form, the shape or structure, the essence of something and the indispensable and intrinsic properties, characteristics. For reform, it's to that continual improvement by those corrections of errors that we see, that we want to reform. We want to see those moments within us, those things that may be holding us or binding us back, removed so that we can move forward and see the path and the light that Christ yearns for us. And that's willingly examining our lives to see what might be going on within us. And then God pointing out those areas and our willingness to change. That willingness to accept God's grace that is freely given to us. That willingness to accept God's love that flows freely from the Creator to us. It's also knowing that it won't be easy. The one thing I've learned on my path to this point is God does not call us to do the easy things. God calls us in those difficult moments to strive forward by faith and to know that He is with us on that path. And to know that the outcomes are unknown. Our path forward at times is like that fog that is in front of us, and eventually the clarity of the sunlight opens up. And it's speaking against the injustices seen, following through or climbing a tree that blocks our view, accepting the invitation to dine with one another or our neighbors. And it's that willingness. That's the key, it seems, is a willingness to see what God sees in us, what God yearns for us, and move towards that path. And as we talk about grace, that unmerited grace that follows us, that indwells within us. It's extending that grace, that love freely given to one another as we move forward. Amen.